Here at Calvary Chapel, we have been studying through the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and we have come to chapter 15. For those of you who maybe have been Christians for some time, you know that chapter 15 is special for one reason. This chapter is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and about our future resurrection from the dead. You know, we as Christians, more than any other people in the world, we have something that they don't have. The thing that we as Christians have is a word called hope. You know what that word hope means? It means we have something to look forward to. We know that for us, there is going to be a day when it will be better for us. And I know, especially on the continent of Africa, in Uganda, even in the city of Kampala, there is a lot of hopelessness. People don't have anything to live for. People don't have anything to put their lives into, to commit their lives to, and we as Christians have a hope. This morning, we're going to be looking at our hope is our resurrection. You can follow along in your notes if you would like to. But our hope is our resurrection from the dead. Last week we looked at the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you remember? We saw that it was important that He is raised from the dead, because if He didn't raise from the dead, then this week's message, we can't even preach it. Amen? If He didn't raise from the dead, and He is our Savior, then how are we going to raise from the dead? That's the question. The answer is, we're not. Paul says, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then we should be pitied more than any other person. People should look at us and say, as they do here in Uganda, oh, sorry. Sorry. You're a Christian? You're saved? Sorry. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead. But the truth is, we saw it last week, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Amen? That's good news for us. He died for our sins, the gospel says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He died for our sins, He was buried, and then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And that is important for us. But today, we have to ask ourselves a question, as we do with any passage in the Bible. It sounds good, but what does it mean to me? Right? It sounds good, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Yeah, I believe that. But what good is that going to do for me? How does that apply to my life? And it's sort of like politics. You know, for me, I don't really follow politics, what they're doing in the parliament, what Museveni, if he's going to have another term or not. Actually, we were just brought news from America that a certain state of California has Arnold Schwarzenegger is the governor. The Terminator. And that's all good for me. I like to hear that. Maybe it's nice, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But the question I have to ask is, what is that going to do for me and my life? If Museveni has another term, what is that going to do for me? Who is elected into parliament? What good is it going to do me with these politics, and I think of it that way. And here in the scripture, we're asking ourselves the same question. Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's good. He was buried. That's nice. And He rose from the dead. But now, what about me? How does that apply to my life, and how does it apply to my future? Right? Everybody's thinking about the future. You got to get a good education. Macquarie University. Then you have to get a good job. Then you have to make a lot of money. Then you have to have a nice home and some nice cars. And people are thinking about the future, right? Let's think a little bit further than that. What about when you have a nice car and a nice house, a nice job and a nice education, and you get old and then you die? Amen? You know, there's a statistic that I read. It said, 10 out of 10 people die. So the news here this morning, we're all going to die. But what's going to happen to us? That's the real answer that we're going to get this morning in this text right before us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What happens when I die? Do I just cease to exist? We saw that there is a resurrection. And how does it apply to me? How will I be raised from the dead is the real question. Let's begin in verse 35. He says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed his own body." And let's stop there and look at these verses quickly. Paul is answering maybe a skeptical question. Someone is saying, "Oh, sure, you're going to raise from the dead. Oh, yeah," they're saying to the Apostle Paul. And then they're saying, well, verse 35, how are the dead raised up? You think you're going to be raised from the dead, how are you going to be raised up? What happens if a bomb hits you and your body is exploded? What happens if you're cremated, burned or something? How are you going to be raised up from the dead? It's a skeptical question, you see. And Paul is going to answer that, and he says this. He says, "Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies." That's what he says. And he's talking about, and he's going to talk about, a grain of wheat, a seed. We know what a seed is, right? Maybe we can have some maize, some fresh maize, and you get one of those seeds off of it, and you put it in some water, and then you dig a hole in the ground, and you put it in the ground, and then you cover it up, right? That's a seed. But if you wait for some time, and you put some water on it and sun, what happens? Does a seed come out of the ground? No. Something comes out of the ground, something green, and it grows up, and it produces fruit. That's how it works. And Paul is saying here, "Foolish one, don't you know that it cannot be made alive unless it dies?" There is a lot of fear, and let me just say this. I think the number one fear maybe in all of the world is death, right? In our conversations, do we like to talk about death? No. We don't like to hear about death. We don't like to talk about death. And we really don't like to think about our own death, right? For us Christians, it's different, but especially people in the world, they're doing whatever they want to do. They don't like to think about death. Maybe you can practice a witnessing technique. Go up to someone and say, "Do you know, have you ever thought about when you're going to die?" "What?" They think you're going to hurt them or something. "Why? Why are you asking me?" People don't like to think about death, do they? Even Christians don't. But let me tell you this. Paul says right here, you cannot be made alive unless you die. So death for us is only like a doorway. Not a doorway into a worse place, but a doorway into a better place. Death for us Christians, people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, death for us no longer has a sting. We don't have to be afraid of death anymore. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Death no longer is fearful for us as Christians, because Paul says, if you die, then it will be made alive, just like a seed. And he goes on to say in verse 37, "What you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain." It's like a flower. I know my wife, she likes to get flowers from me. Sometimes I go and I buy her flowers, some roses. And I buy her some roses, mini roses, and she likes them so much. And right now she's thinking, how come you haven't done that in such a long time? My wife likes it when I buy her flowers and I bring them home and I give them to her and she likes them. But if she wanted to make some new flowers. This is what this verse is saying, really. If she wanted to get new flowers, she wouldn't put one of those flowers into the ground and bury it and hope to get a new flower, right? You don't bury the flower in the ground. You bury the seed, the bulb, it's called, of the flower. And if you've ever seen a flower bulb, the seed of the flower, it doesn't look very nice, does it? This is going to fit into our sermon this morning, so listen to this. It doesn't look good. It looks bad. How many have ever planted flowers before? Yeah, see? It doesn't look good. But you put that thing in the ground, and actually it dies. The seed dies, and something comes out of the seed, out of the bulb, and it comes up out of the ground, and it produces something that is beautiful. A flower. A rose, or something like that. And Paul is going to show us, through this passage, that our bodies, this body, these fingers, who I am here in my physical form, when we die, it's like a seed going into the ground. And that same seed is not going to be raised up. It's not going to be exactly this, who I am right now, my body. But when it's raised up, it will be connected to who I am now, but it will be something glorious, something beautiful, something wonderful. And that gives us hope, doesn't it? It gives meaning and purpose. We're not just going to become disembodied spirits floating in the world, ghosts. We're going to be raised up from the dead in a physical body. You believe that? And that's what we're learning this morning here. God gives it a body as He pleases, to each seed its own body. And then He says in verse 39, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies," that's speaking of heavenly bodies like angels, "and terrestrial bodies," that's earthly bodies like we have. "But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory." So here he's talking about this. Everything has a different type of body. Animals have one kind, humans, angels have a type of body, the sun has a type, the moon, they're different. And each body is made so that it can survive in the place that it is made to survive in. The sun is made to be there in space. Our bodies are formed so that we can survive on Earth, right? We have lungs so that we can breathe. We have a heart so it can pump blood into our limbs. We have a brain so we can think. Our bodies are made to live here. Angelic bodies are made to dwell in heaven. They are made not to die. And they're up there in, with the Lord now, and even invisible here today, the Bible teaches. But Paul is merely stating there are different types of bodies, and that's important because when we die in this body that I have, that you have, when we die, we will be raised up into a body that is able to endure forever. Did you know that? This chapter is very informative for us. When we die, we will be raised up into a body that is able to dwell forever and is able to dwell in heaven forever. That's the good thing about it. Jesus had such a body when He raised from the dead. You remember? Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? He still looked the same. I think we'll probably still look the same when we raise from the dead. He still looked the same, but He could do things that were supernatural. Remember? The disciples were all in one room, and here comes Jesus, and nobody hears the door open, but He just goes in. He walked through the door. He had that special body that was created. He could appear and disappear. In fact, He had a body that was able to overcome gravity because He ascended into heaven. And His body that He has right now, His resurrection body, one like we will have one day, is there at the right hand of the Father, daily making intercession for us. He has a special body, a glorious body. Look what it says here in verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, it says. So here are the real verses. It's talking about our physical resurrection from the dead. After we die, it's not the end. We're just like a seed, a bulb, going into the ground. And it says here that we are, or we will be changed at that time when we're raised from the dead. We will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. Do you know what corruptible means? We know what corruption means, right? Speaking of politics. Corruption is just means it's not good. It gets bad. It's like if you have a piece of matoke and you leave it in the sun, for after a few days, the matoke will start to go bad, corrupt, spoiled. Our bodies right now, what do? They become more and more and more corrupted physically. We get old and then people call us muse. And then our hair starts to change colors and we start to have wrinkles and all of these things. And then our body finally just dies, stops working. And I've been told that in the village, some people have lived up to 150 years. Is that true? See? But even if you live that long, your body is corrupting. Every day, my body is getting one day closer to dying. How does that make you feel? Pastor, I thought this was a church with love, with nice feelings. Here you're telling us we're going to die. But every day we are corrupting. We're getting worse and worse and worse and worse until finally we die. But when we die, it says here, corruption will be made into incorruptible. We will never die. We will never grow old. We will never get sick. We will never have problems. That's incorruptible. And that's how we will be raised. That's going to happen to us one day. Think about that. Corruption into incorruption, changed from dishonorable into honorable. Our bodies will be more honorable, better. And it says changed from weak into powerful. Now, I remember during this drama, there was a guy in the bag, because he was stuck in there because of sin, I think. And there were two guys that came up. I know those guys, David and Brian. Those guys, they are powerful. They're strong. Did you see his muscles when he did like that? But compared to our future bodies that we will have, that's nothing. We are weak. You get the strongest man in the world and bring him here. And if someone shoots him with a gun, what will happen? He'll die. He's weak. Even the strongest man, the strongest woman, they're weak compared to what we will be. We're going to be from weak into powerful. Changed from natural into spiritual. And here's the good one. This natural man, created after Adam, we're going to see, is going to be changed into a body that's spiritual like the Lord Jesus. Continuing on in verse 45, it says, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. For the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." This is a bit confusing, I think. In fact, the whole passage, when I was talking with Josh, whenever I'm studying, sometimes I go and visit Josh, and I came and I said, "Man, this passage, it's tough. It's tough, like the exam and the Bible college I've been going through." I come in there, "Man, this passage is tough. What is this talking about?" I explained last week, it's like the difference between milk and meat. It's easy to drink milk. It's hard to chew meat, especially if it's from an old cow. Amen? Hard to understand sometimes, but important for our lives. And so, what he's talking about here is two men. The first man's name is Adam, right? In fact, he was the very first man. Adam, the name literally means man. And the second man, the spiritual man, is the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ. And what he says in these verses here is this. Everybody who has borne the image of, who has been made from dust, like Adam, bears the image that he has, natural. Original sin, corruption, that we will one day die. And the reason why we will die one day is because we bear the image of Adam, the natural man. And God said to him in Genesis chapter 2, don't eat of this fruit, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. What did he do? He was deceived by his wife, tricked. No, I'm just kidding. They both ate the fruit, and on that day, he was condemned, and all of those who are born after the lineage of Adam, that's everybody. So we bear the image of Adam. One day we will die because of him. We are natural men. But if we have chosen to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we who are born again, we have a second birth, we're born again. We who are born again will bear the image of that second man, the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ. And we will be raised up in his image, perfectly. Not like Adam any longer, not corruptible, not natural, but in his image, spiritual. We will bear the image of the heavenly man. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 says this. It says, Jesus will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed into his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Did you see what it says there? Jesus himself, he will transform our lowly bodies. That's us right now, our body. And he will transform it that it may be conformed into his glorious body. How many people know Jesus has a glorious body right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will transform us to be in that same image, that same type of body. In verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Basically, what he is saying in that verse is that you will not go to heaven in the body that you have right now. This body, my physical body, will not go to heaven the way it is right now. That's what he says. It can't. Because there it is an incorruptible place, and here in my body I am corruption, corruptible. All of us, even the best people. In verse 51, Paul is going to talk about a certain mystery. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Here in this passage of Scripture, you can look at it closely. This passage of Scripture is talking about when we will be raised from the dead. I think we know how we're going to be raised from the dead. We're going to be sown just like a seed into the ground, dead. And we will be raised in glorious bodies. The flower is different than the bulb. Our new body will be different from this body we have now. We're going to be raised incorruptible. We will have no more problems, no more trouble, no more death, sickness, illness. We won't be tired anymore. So we will be changed, is what it says here. But then you have to ask this question. It's like when you hear about something good you're going to get. When? I don't know about you, but sometimes I can become impatient. That means if someone tells me something good they're going to give to me, I wonder to myself, well, when? When is that going to happen? When is that good thing going to come to pass in my life? The same thing with the resurrection. When will I be changed? And here is the answer right in these verses. It says, we will be changed into that new body that we've been talking about. In a moment, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. That trumpet, what is he talking about? When is that? Well, look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's in your notes here if you don't have your Bible this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. When are we going to be changed? When is our body going to go from corruption into incorruption? From dishonorable into honorable? From natural into spiritual? That's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And the Bible says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, catches us up, pulls us up to be with him in the clouds. It's called the rapture. That word rapture, maybe you've heard of it before. It's a word that means catching up into the clouds. Jesus Christ will come back and we will hear a trumpet. Reminds me of a funny thing that happened. We were meeting in our old church building down on Nkrumah Road. And I was talking about this trumpet. How when Jesus comes back, what we're going to hear is a trumpet. And just at that time, behind us, there was windows behind us so you could hear noise coming in. Just at that time, a large lorry drove by with one of those loud horns. And he went, right as I was talking about that. And I kind of stood there like this. Lord, are you here? I'm coming. That's funny. It's funny to think about Pastor Brian there with his eyes like this. Am I ready for the trumpet? But the Bible says this, that there will be a day, and let me tell you something, according to the way things are going in the world, the disciples asked Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, what will be the signs of your coming when you're going to come back for us? And Jesus said, these are the signs, wars and rumors of wars. How many people have ever heard a rumor of war or a war lately? Wars and rumors of wars, famine and pestilence, diseases. Are there any diseases in the world today? Yeah, like never before. And false prophets. And yes, let me tell you, there are false prophets in the world today. All of these things will come to pass, is what Jesus said, before the end comes, before I come back. And right now, all of these things are coming to pass. And do you know what he said? He said, when you see all these things coming to pass, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. The redemption of our bodies. The transformation into glory. The dwelling with him in heaven forever. That's our hope. I'm not just here because I like to stand in front of people. Ask my wife. I don't really like to stand in front of people. I'm not here because I think it's fun. I'm here because I believe in the resurrection from the dead. And I believe that those of us who have accepted Jesus will be changed into a body more glorious than we can even imagine. Paul said this, I am convinced, I'm persuaded, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our future resurrection. That's our hope. Some people call it heaven. The way that we will be with the Lord forever. And so, Jesus has said in his word, and the word says this, that we will hear a trumpet and in the twinkling of an eye, as fast as you can blink, boom, we'll be changed. Is that fast? So it could happen right now. Not some lorry driving by, but the Lord coming through the clouds. And you hear the trumpet, and before you can even look up, boom, changed. We will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Christians, do you believe that? That's what the Bible is teaching here. This is our hope. It's not just a religion to make us feel better in this world. It's a religion with a future and a hope. And so that's when it will happen, when the Lord Jesus comes back for His church. The dead will be raised, and then we who are alive will be changed. And then He says in verse 53 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" You see what Paul is saying right here? He's kind of taunting death. "Death, where is your sting? What can you do to me?" Those of us who have trouble, maybe some have been threatened with death in their lives. Wes has shared with us about the time in his own life. But he, just like all of us, can look at death and say, "Death, where is your sting? What are you going to do to me? Death will only make us better. There's no problem. We could all die right now." And for those of us who are Christians, please hear me, we will be better after we die. "Death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory?" Hades means hell, the grave. The grave has no victory over us, amen? In Jesus Christ, the grave has no victory. Hell has no victory. That's what the Bible is teaching here. And He says in verse 56, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." He's saying this, the sting of death. Paul said, "Death, where is your sting? How are you going to get me now?" The sting of death is sin. Now let me ask you another question. How many people have ever sinned? Everybody. Everybody in the world. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Everyone is guilty of this sin. He says, "The strength of sin is the law." We can look at the law, the Ten Commandments, and we can see we've broken every single one of them. The strength of sin. The law is saying you are a sinner and you are guilty, to everyone, me included. And before Jesus came, do you know what? People are afraid of death. People out there, they're afraid of death. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, let me tell you something. You are afraid of death. And the reason why they are afraid of death is because they are sinners and they are guilty of sinning against God. And they will be cast into hell. That's why. And let me tell you something. That's something to fear. Jesus said this. Don't fear those people who can hurt the body. Don't fear those people. The person you should fear is the one who has power to cast body and soul into hell. People who are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have not committed their lives to Him, they should be afraid. Death does have a sting, and the sting is strong through the breaking of the law by their own willful disobedience. That's the truth. But look what it says here for us. I say for us, meaning those who have accepted Jesus. It says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And listen to me very clearly as we close this message this morning. The reason why we have a hope, the reason why we look forward to a good resurrection when we die, the reason why we will never be judged is because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. If you are in Christ Jesus, meaning you have put your faith in Him, "Yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I accept you. I want to live for you. Thank you for dying." If you are in Jesus, then you have the victory over sin and death. There's an old hymn, "O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood." That's Jesus. And for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we, even though we will die, yet we will live again, Jesus said. "He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he will live again. And he who believes in me, they will never die." And then Jesus asked the question, "Do you believe that?" There's a call this morning. Do you believe what the Bible is teaching right here, because this is serious. We may not like to think about death, but the truth is, everybody is going to die. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next year. I don't know when it's going to be. Traveling around Kampala, I see dead people all the time, and they're not all old. Most of the dead people I see are young. Guy riding his bicycle, dead. You think he knew he was going to die that day? These are serious things, and we have to ask ourselves, do we believe this? Are we afraid of dying? And this morning I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you are afraid to die because you have not accepted Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to do that. Don't let another day go past. Because all of us will die, but the question is, are all of us going to live with Jesus forever? There will be a resurrection for everybody. Did you know that? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 that John, the beloved, saw small and great, the dead, gathered before the throne of God. Those from that had died in the sea were raised up, and they all stood before God's throne, a great white throne of judgment. And God judged all of those people, and He cast them into the lake of fire. We will all live again, but the question is, where? Are you sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven? That's the point. Are you sure? And for those of us who are sure, let us be encouraged this morning, because we will be changed into something better, something we could never imagine. Amen? Something we could never imagine. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, we'll close with this verse. As it's speaking in verse 58 about doing the work of the Lord, abounding in His work, the reason why we do that is because we are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Today, Christians, we are looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day we're going to wake up, maybe we're walking to work, walking somewhere down the road, and all of a sudden, the clouds are going to split and we're going to hear something. It's not a lorry, it's not a big truck. It's going to be the Lord Jesus with a trumpet. And everybody in the world will hear it. And those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, boom, we're going to be changed. Are you ready for that? Are you looking forward to that day? I am. Praise God. Why don't we stand together? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your promise. Lord, we thank You that this corruptible body will put on incorruption. Lord, we thank You that You've promised that we can live with You forever. And Father, I pray that this morning You would prepare each and every heart to meet You. Lord, I know in this room there are some who have not accepted You. Some who have not made that choice to follow You, and I pray that they would do that today. Lord, do that work in us and give us that encouragement that we need to live for You, to do Your work, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We thank You for this service. We thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.